Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. Download free from Google Play and Apple App Store. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And he, of course, is JC Shivert, my co-host from Points Unknown, as always.
But nowhere near any mountains.
That's right. Yeah. But yeah, 19 hours away from anything that looks like that. Talking about some movies earlier in the crossover. If you missed it there in that little period between the morning and the show, talking about movies and shows that depict landscapes that aren't necessarily geographically correct. And Christmas Vacation pops up because there are no mountains anywhere near Chicago that look like the ones where they cut down that Christmas tree.
And I didn't know. I was like, are there, because I didn't like get out a map and look at the topography.
Yeah, right.
Wisconsin's somewhat hilly, but it's like kind of like meadowy. It's more hilly than Illinois. They got a ski. It's called Mount something Mountain in Wisconsin. It's just like, it looks like a landfill. You ski down the mountain, the landfill.
Mountain.
It's like a landfill.
I was thinking maybe Minnesota would kind of look like that. I don't know. I know it's the land of 10,000 lakes, but
Minnesota.
Really, there's a mountain or two around there.
Right? I don't know. I think you got to get into the North Dakotas. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I know like Western Nebraska has some hilly mountains that you wouldn't think would be in Nebraska because you think,
right.
But Nebraska backs up to Colorado. Believe it or not, I don't think those are mountains in Western Nebraska so much as hills. Colorado is prairie until you get to Denver. Because if you've ever flown into the Denver International Airport, you're flying in and you're getting low, you know, and you're looking out the window because you don't look right in front of you. You're at the mercy of what's on the side, your side of the plane. You look down, there's all these flat lands and fields, and it's like I'll quote Dumb and Dumber again. That John Denver's full of shit, man. I mean, seriously, you're like, what? Where are we? But then you turn around and like you look to, and you're on the other side and you look and there's the city, the downtown, and then there's like the Rockies, like in all their majesty.
Right.
And it's very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting country. This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show, as Phil the Mad Dog mentioned out. It is Wide Open Wednesday, so welcome into the chat box. Very glad to have all of you in there. Good to see Strickland on the morning show. If you missed any of the morning show, it'll be up in podcast format on Apple and Spotify and Amazon Music. We're on Amazon Music now, too.
Nice.
Later, and you can check that out. Gamecocks did win a baseball game last night and put 8 runs on the board. 3 in the top of the 9th. Good to see them get it going, but Strickland's right. They got to hit the ball. That wasn't an offensive juggernaut on the field last night. That was a team that continued to kind of struggle until late when Talmadge LeCroy and KJ Scobie, who did not struggle last night, got after it. So, and I mentioned this on coffee today. Just want to throw this out to the chat boxers. Isn't it interesting? All right, so let's just say the worst happens, Phil. I don't know if it'll be the worst or not, but it's frustrating to watch any sports team around here that can't score, because that seems to be a trend. Yeah. Some of Dawn Staley's best teams until recent, you know, like early, couldn't score. They weren't a great scoring team. They couldn't shoot all that well. Now they can now.
Yeah, right.
But even championship level teams aren't the best at scoring runs, points, what have you. But there's a deeper problem. That are not problem, but trend is, it's like, okay. So I thought about it like football. All of our talk during the offseason was, and it wasn't just us, and it wasn't just the fan base, and it was the coaches and the national pundits. They lost too much on defense. That defense is going to take a step back. Nobody said peep about the offense. You know, national pundits like, they're going to be really good. You know,
right.
Surely they'll be better on the offensive line. Surely the Sewell Faison, this, that, and the other. I mean, you know, nobody was worried about the offense at all. And it ended up being one of the worst offenses in the history of the program. And the defense is actually good enough to win. Fast forward to basketball, right? And this is different because there's no nice surprise in basketball. They're struggling in the areas everyone thought they would. But what were they supposed to be able to do, Phil?
What?
This basketball team.
This basketball team was supposed to be able to shoot the threes, man. They drain them. I mean, beyond the arc, this team was designed. This team was specifically assembled to be a team full of shooters, knowing that there'd be a little bit of, you're going to sacrifice something in the post, but you're going to hit from beyond the arc.
Great idea on paper. I wouldn't have mind seeing it, because if you're out there drilling a bunch of shots and making baskets, yeah, it's more of an exciting Brett, but guess what? Here's the cold hard truth. This team can't shoot.
This team is not what it was.
It hadn't even been like they can't shoot half the time.
No.
There's been very few games where very few moments. Even the LSU game, good in the first half. Same old, same old.
No, it's entirely too inconsistent.
Most of you out there probably are like, good Lord, why do we listen to anything? And then baseball rolls around. Let's say they can't hit the ball. Let's say they struggle at the plate all year. What was the thought going into the season? I think most people would have said they should be able to hit the ball a little better, more power in the lineup, more hitters, worried about the pitching, the starting pitching, and who's going to pitch and all that, especially with McCoy out. And then there are people like, they're going to be okay on defense. We don't really know about defense. So far, it's the complete reverse through four games. Defense is actually quite good.
Pitching's been great.
Settled in after a leadoff home run last night, and you got guys coming out of the bullpen that have played well or pitched well.
It's kind of surpassing expectations when you consider like your Friday and Saturday starters, the guys that were being thrown around as the names for those roles are hurt
on the shelf. Yeah, Philpott's probably gonna be back though.
McCoy, that's true. Not season ending.
Not for Philpott, but yeah. It's a very strange time at Carolina. Very strange.
Very odd.
So don't listen to anything.
Right.
That anybody says, not just us. Don't believe whatever the consensus is out there about how your Gamecock men's sports team is going to be. Just believe just think the opposite, and you'll probably be right. I think I may do that. I may just start. I'd look pretty good.
We're just going to start panning the football team right over the summer these guys
are weak at quarterback.
Not able to put defense it together. Sellers can't throw the ball.
Offense. Anyway,
Bryles isn't surprising anybody with that offense these days.
It's just it's crazy, right? It's crazy. So we're kind of on a heater there. Blake did correct it to Brad. He said it's his fault. He's sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay, Blake. I can't keep up with everybody. Bruin goes, how dare you? That was in the movie Lincoln. Speaking of Lincoln, not Lincoln Lawyer, but Lincoln. How dare you? Tommy Lee Jones.
That was Tommy. Oh, yeah. That was a good movie.
I loved that movie. Mm-hmm. But there was one reason why I loved it. Daniel Day-Lewis. The rest of it was cast with the local theater troupe.
Truly.
Weird. Like just these. Like some of these congressmen just look like the most like musical theater feminine actors they could possibly find. Nobody got elected acting like that back then.
No.
Not that there's anything wrong with acting like that, but it was just like, Mr. Lincoln, oh my God. And I'm like, oh, come on. Then you had Tommy Lee Jones, who's a, Stevens, Congressman Steve. And I looked, and this guy never was from the South. Right. And Tommy Lee Jones is playing this character, and he talks just like Tommy Lee Jones always talks.
That's right. Yeah.
I do not believe in Lincoln this, Lincoln that. And I'm like, well, that's miscast. But you know what? Daniel Day-Lewis makes up for the whole thing because he nails it. Like, I'm glad they didn't. Spielberg directed it, for God's sake. I'm glad they didn't cast it the right way. Because Daniel Day-Lewis, like, the focus is just all on him. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's good. All that good stuff. But, and who plays his son? He was like a child actor. Anyway, it's a good movie. It is a good movie. But anyway, one of the characters, how dare you? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I said that about what
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That's
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is it. Sally Field plays Mrs. Lincoln and does a good job with that. James Spader is in it too.
That's right.
I was probably a little harsh, but some of these people are just like miscast. I love Tommy Lee Jones. Walton Goggins is in it.
Was he really?
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
I got a pretty deep. Pretty deep bench here on this. It's a Spielberg movie. Kevin Kline is in it.
Yeah.
So anywho, who's the guy that played Alexander Stevens, the Confederate? Tim Blake Nelson, weird looking guy.
He's Richard Schill. Yeah.
Richard Schill.
That was Jackie Earl Haley was Alexander Stevens.
I'm so sorry.
I just happen to be looking at the cast to see only reason. Me too.
I looked at one guy and then I looked at the other. So anyway, on to bigger and better things in the ITG chat box. Blake said he's not watching basketball. Don't blame me.
I'm not either, Blake. And, you know, that's part of my job. I keep up with, I either listen to it on the radio call or I just watch the ESPN little score bug thing that gives you the, what is that called? Gamecast. That's it. Yeah. Gamecast.
Yeah.
Gamecast. That's how I'm consuming basketball, right? Because it makes me too mad. I just can't do it.
I can't do it.
I watch the Gamecast. I catch the highlights and I can talk about it as if I had watched, you know, all 40 minutes of action because it's that sadly predictable right now.
I think I bring them bad luck. Because I'll look, I'll turn on the score, I'll turn on to see the score. Carolina's winning, you're tied normally. The next thing you know, they're bricking shots and missing free throws, and other teams drilling threes and taking off from the foul line and dunking and dominating the offensive boards. And I'm just like, all I can think about is going to the Final Four with my friend Skipper that year.
That's right. I know, man. I know.
How wonderful that was.
They're thinking, it's like, man, this was a tournament team 2 years ago. Golly.
Bummer. Yeah, how excited everybody was. I mean, that was, anyway. Cam says, I'm with you, Blake, but I do look forward to the SEC basketball tournament in Nashville again this year. If you ever get a chance to go, be glad you did. I tell you what, speaking of the year Carolina went to the tournament, I was heading down to South Carolina for the week that year. I went down and went back. So I went down like on Wednesday or Thursday. And then I came back like Monday. It was a quick trip and drove down and went through Nashville and went to the game, the Arkansas game. Carolina won. I ended up doing the show from Phil's house the next morning, spent the night outside of Atlanta and drove over to Greenville the next morning. But I have never wanted to stay. If I wasn't going to see my buddies, Bill and his wife, I would have probably just stayed in Nashville because that was just such a vibe and a party.
Like, yeah.
All the teams were there. I was like, man, I want to stay, but I can't. That's again the movie Lincoln. It's time for me to go, but I would rather stay. Anyway, but yeah, Cam, you're absolutely right about that. Jimmy says, JC, if we can't get Josh Sheets. Yeah, I talked to somebody today that laughed at me that's connected in basketball when I said I liked him about the South Carolina job. So I would take him off your list if they make a change. Flynn Clayman. The only thing about Clayman is he's in his first year at High Point, and the guy before him was winning at High Point and left. I mean, so is he winning because he's good, or is he winning because he has a squad? I don't know. Maybe in this era he had to rebuild it, and he's good. He was an assistant at Southern Utah before that. But local guy, played at Troy and was the interim head coach at Southern Utah and made the CBI semifinals. So, you know, Alan Huss left to become the head coach. Creighton loves hiring head coaches in waiting, right? Yeah, Mark Kingston was the head coach of waiting. Then they heard Alan Huss, who gets the Creighton job when McDermott leaves. So, but he's 23-4, 11-1 in the Big South. So Flynn, that's an interesting name. Flynn Clayman. It's like Les Nessman from WKRP. Oh, Roger's going to drive a friend down to Columbia Airport and is going to go buy D's wings for supper before heading home. That's a good idea. We all love D's wings. So all that good stuff. High Point Ben says Ben's our North Carolina egg. Any schools in North Carolina, he knows High Point has huge money for that level. So Jimmy says need an offensive genius like Flynn. Big Slam of Jemma says Tommy Lee Jones wouldn't have been fooling anyone with that wig, though. He just watched Lincoln the other night. Blake, another Blake says Lincoln Lawyer's great, as is Night Agent.
I haven't seen any of that. I don't know.
Jimmy has the opinion when Carolina plays a good team, the pitching's got to be better. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We'll just have to see when they play Clemson in a couple of weeks. I think some of these teams are good.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean, they've shut them down. I mean, last night, Wofford got the leadoff home run. That happens.
And then what didn't score down until the eighth?
Shut them down until late. Yeah. And that was really Connor or Cooper. It's Cooper Parks.
Was it Cooper Parks or
Sparks? He came in and gave up the run, I think.
But, got with the P name. That's all right. Yeah, maybe it is Parks. Yeah, I was thinking something. So.
Roger did not get to the game at Fifth Third last night. By the way, Krieger, I didn't skip over your offensive line thing. I'm just catching up on this and that. And then we're going to get to that broader discussion. Jimmy didn't like the hitting or the pitching. All right, Jimmy, explain what you didn't like about the pitching. And all that good stuff. Ben Stiller as Greg Faulkner in Meet the Parents is the best role he's ever played. I agree. Greg Faulkner is good. Blake said he's going to be living very close soon. Got to the point of turning on the app and listening to the game midweek because it's broadcasting so bad. SEC Network Plus is fine. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, that game last night was not easy to watch or listen to.
I didn't watch it. I just listened.
Yeah, I should
have. I turned it on briefly, Phil, to get a look at the ballpark because it's home and I'm proud.
Right.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the attendance 4,891 last night. Krieger pointed out accurately the ballpark's listed capacity from what is 3,500. Sometimes they get 3,800 in there. So the berm and all that had a lot of. I mean, that's not that 3,500 is the seating, right?
Right.
The berm and the stand. There's a lot of standing room only area at the ballpark. It looks really big from the road. It's kind of down in a if you know anything about Spartanburg, that's a hill that there it's a hill. There's an insurance agency that's always at the top of it. And the hill kind of slopes down and then went back up to where they built the W Hotel or the M Hotel right there. But it's so there's a good crowd, a lot of Gamecocks there from what I heard. A lot of Wofford students, but Gamecock fans. Spartanburg's got a lot of Gamecocks. So, and look, man, if I lived in the Berg or even in Greenville, I would have probably come.
I mean, I would have been there had I not had a prior obligation.
It's a point of pride, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Blake liked that the scoring was spread out. First five RBIs were from five different dudes. Yeah, they, runners in scoring position. I don't know, man. Look, Wofford's going to be in the hunt in the SoCon. The SoCon's a good good league. I think that's the type of game you go, and if you win, you win, and that's good. It's a good day if you win.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see them get it going over these next four games. You're going to be a little worried going to that Clemson series. Because what happens normally is everybody hopes that the bats get going, but normally it's like that first seven innings of the Clemson series. If you have a team that's struggling already at the plate,
yeah,
you're just mowing them down.
It's not going to get any better. Yeah.
It's a very fast game.
It'd be good to see how they do against the service academies this weekend because those are going to be much more solid, well put together teams than Northern Kentucky.
Yeah, probably. Oh, Roger said, I didn't get to go to the game last night. Went to several Burgers games there. It's a very nice ballpark, much easier to get in and out of the Spartanburg versus downtown Greenville at Fluor Field. Yeah, I don't even know where you park at Fluor Field to go. I mean,
well, now that, they've destroyed the whole county office.
Yeah, that used to be where you park.
Yeah, you park over there. Now you got to wish.
That hill from – you go have to go down that mountain and then back up that SOB to get the Fluor Field.
That's why the trolley was such a blessing, dude.
I'd just Uber there, dude. I'd just Uber there.
Trolley and take you right to that parking lot and back. You know where I park now is in the building you used to live in. at that parking garage.
Oh.
And yeah, because it's only a block.
Yeah, that's a walk over. Okay. Mm-hmm. Serene Stadium.
It is. It's two blocks, and one of them's pretty big, but that's all right. I usually park there.
Yeah. Ethan says, how long until Jeremiah Donati drops the hammer on the losing after a year under his belt? Might be time to get his hands dirty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as is everything in college sports, it's not that simple as it used to be. It's not as simple as it used to be. I don't know. I mean, what I was told today is it's just, you know, there's only so much losing that can happen, you know. I think that there's a very fair evaluation of the men's basketball program going on. That there's no preconceived decision that somebody's getting fired or not.
Yeah.
I think every leader should do that. You should holistically evaluate it. Like some athletic directors say that after a thorough evaluation of our program, I've found it's in our best, and that a lot of it's bullcrap. That's bullcrap, right? Because administratively, the schools make the same mistakes, and they get the next coach in there, and they don't do much better,
right?
They're just firing coaches. I believe that if you have a problem, and it is a problem that they're that bad, and that the record is what it is. If you have a problem, usually in life, business, sports, whatever, it's more than one thing. And so they're going to look into it. I think at some point, though, if you lose out, I mean, you can't, you know, at that point you just have to make a move. I mean, it's would be shockingly unprecedented. You know, you may send you'd probably alienate your fans and everybody. I mean, it's at some point, if you lose too much, it gets hard for that person that's leading the ship to turn it around because of where you're at. So we'll see. But yeah, I would not expect. I don't think I'll just say wait and see on that, you know, wait and see on that one. You know, there is a school of thought that accurately the basketball program in general on the men's side needs some love. And is it fair to fire some, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a spark is required to kind of reignite the flame there. As much as I hate to say it, that probably looks like a coaching change, you know, but
who knows? Yeah, you never know. Cam says this team doesn't have a guy on offense that requires a double team or help defense. Well, Florida wasn't really interested in helping with Michi last night. And I think that a lot of teams are just like letting Michi. Okay. Nobody else is going to hurt us. Which Mike Sharp jams, I think, and Matt Anderson said this, and I was talking to somebody today, and I agree. If you could just open up his head, you get on your stepladder, that's normal height.
That's right. Yeah, it's 6'9".
And open his head and pour the aggression in there and sew it back up. If he were more aggressive, he would be dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like when he takes it to the hole, I mean, he's a good, really great free throw shooter. He can draw fouls. I mean, he's quick. He can handle the ball. I don't know what the deal is there. I mean, I just don't. Oh, goodness. Everybody watch Lincoln. USA Men's Hockey live at 3:50 at Eastern time in the semis of the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Kreger, I did catch your line prediction. I'm coming back to it because I want to get to that in a second. Ben says Tyler Bach is that dude. Wofford is picked last in the SoCon, Ed said. Well, you know, when I turned on the video announcers, they were talking them up, and so were Stewart and, you know, those guys.
Yeah,
who still knows? Makes it a good conference.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even in the best conferences, somebody's got to be last.
Well, and South Carolina's picked 15th in the SEC, and we're all hoping for better. True. I certainly, Ed, was not saying Wofford was a bunch of world beaters.
No.
I want to be clear there. But you're a SoCon team, you know, is probably a little bit of a step up compared to some of the, you know, like Carolina played UW Milwaukee last year and Sacred Heart.
Yeah. Sacred Heart.
Yeah. I'll take Wofford's a little more tricky than them, but that's as far as I'm willing to go. So Walford brought one guy in, Hiram Lewis or something, some big kid, country looking kid from Georgia that just mowed Carolina down. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, I was like, geez.
Was that the first reliever they sent in? Like that?
Maybe
that
a guy. Second. I don't know. You got to hit better. I mean, I'm in agreement with everybody there. Ethan says the pitching looks much better. Quantrell says, agree with Roger. Spartanburg ballparks easier to maneuver in and out of. He drove down from Charlotte. Problem with Floor Field is it's right downtown. Believe it or not, Quantrell, that is downtown Spartanburg. You were in. That's not true. Much, but it's ours, you know.
They're behind.
It's yeah, come a million bit. Miles. You know, it's about 20 years behind Greenville. But, yeah, they got a parking garage here. I mean, I think it's a nice setup. I really am proud of my hometown. Mm-hmm. The thinking around Spartanburg historically has not always been, my mom calls it progressive, like Greenville's more progressive. But that's such a loaded term because of politics.
Yeah.
But ambitious. How about ambition? You know, Spartanburg, South Carolina was in the you know, you have Talladega in NASCAR. Well, it could have been Spartanburg.
Mm. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, when
I couldn't cut, he didn't want it.
People before the population boom around here, like Spartanburg was the one that was kind of eyed as being the town that would go first, right? That would take off first.
Oh, yeah. A long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Greenville just in the 80s said, hold my beer.
Greenville got it right.
And off they go.
Got it right. Smith says it seemed very full last night. Krager said it wasn't very loud. It wasn't, but it wasn't a super exciting baseball game.
I know, yeah. It's like, yeah.
Jimmy, Kansas State's going to have to pay. They don't have a legal leg to stand on with what they did to Tang. But he said, if K-State can fire not have to pay because they're losing, we can. No.
Yeah, no, it's that's going to blow up in their face. Yeah. And they're going to end up having to pay lawyers and legal fees and all that other stuff. It'll be settled. And yeah, but
Jay did says, keep Paris, just cut all the funding to men's basketball teams. Play with zero fire intensity. Some of the worst motivated teams I've ever seen. Paris's teams just don't play hard. You know, when they stopped playing hard, Jay Diz, is when they started getting paid money. I wonder if there's a correlation, because that team that went to the tournament 2 years ago, that was not a very high payroll, sir. And then last year's got a little better, and then this year's is three times that, and it's gotten progressively worse. I'm not going to say that's the reason.
No,
but there's a lot of coaches that are going to struggle with that, and it won't have anything to do with coaching. Jerome Tang struggled with that, and they allegedly spent $18 million, allegedly.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that men's basketball needs to just for a couple of years be treated like a loss leader.
Mike and Derek both said men's basketball was underfunded. I see their points, but still think we should be competitive regardless. Yes, I mean, underfunded, but look, man, if Vanderbilt's spending $7 million, mm-hmm. Carolina play, so what? I'm going to push, look, I agree with those that say, if you want to win, you need to invest. Basketball, especially, you know, football, I don't think you have to go spend 40 something million dollars to win a national championship or go to the playoff, because there have been numerous teams in tough leagues that have not spent that much and gone to the playoff and won a national championship. Football's different. You know, basketball, you can rent players, sure, and be quite good. But Florida won the last two national champions. Florida was 10th in 10th, 11th in the SEC in NIL spending last year, and they won the whole thing. Indiana was less than like Illinois, Iowa, schools like that in the Big Ten, and they won the whole thing. So what is it? You know, I don't think we could just let the evaluation and the finding of players off the hook here. You know, yeah. I think that, you know, there's a lot of examples in college basketball of teams that don't have budgets that manage to compete, and not only compete, but win. You just have to find them. I mean, there's tons of basketball players.
They're all over this great night, right? I mean,
I don't know. Bryce said he's been thinking about sleeper Robert Duvall movies, Kicking and Screaming with Will Ferrell. Yeah, that was mentioned yesterday. So yeah, Jade is. The crew on the call last night said they were picked to finish middle of the pack in the Southern Conference.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get to this offensive line discussion. I keep teasing.
Guess that time spent listening up. Everybody's waiting on the football talk.
Question about Darius Gray. Yeah, well, there's a lot of, the chat box guides us.
It is. I mean, it's wide open Wednesday. It's
wide open Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And a lot of great questions. You can get your questions in. I will be answering it. I'm going to scroll back for now to Craigers. Get your projected offensive line together, because that's what I want to talk about on the other side. Be like Roger. Go to D's Wings. You don't have to wait till Friday if you're in Columbia or near there. Right over the Gervais Street Bridge in West Columbia, they do have ample parking. It is easy to get to D's Wings. Go get you a burr or a soda or an iced tea and have some of their delicious food, which everybody says is delicious, including my stepson. We'll be back second hour of the show after this.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia. We're serious about saving you money.
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
2026 is the year of the Barn Dominium, and the Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home for your family. Make your dream a reality. Change your life today. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us. Coffee, weekday mornings with JC Sherbert. Watch or listen on the Chief Sports app, the Chief Sports YouTube page, available on Apple and Spotify.
When you buy and sell your sports and fitness gear at Play It Again Sports, you support a local business. We pay our customers for their quality used sports and fitness gear and resell it, recycling it back into your community. Support local, score savings. Play It Again
Sports! So, Mason, what do you focus on in the law? My answer to that is I'm a personal injury lawyer. I like to help people that are injured as a result of somebody else's negligence, or in a workers' compensation matter, get back to normal. That's where my passion is. But what I want everyone out there to understand is more important to me is that I'm your trusted resource for any problem that you may have.
Visit westlawfirmsc.com.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cars while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, Freddy.
You bet.
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com.
Visit GamecockTraditions.com and get your gear today. They'll ship it to your doorstep. Go Gamecocks.
And now, the show goes on.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Rolling into hour number two here on a wide open Wednesday. Hop on in the chat box, generally reserved for Club Chief members, but not today. Today, you can get in at no charge. So now is the very good opportunity to let your voice be heard. And, of course, on Wednesdays, we'd love to see folks that we don't normally get to see through the week, who, quite frankly, I think have very salient points, JC. It's like, you know, I mean, Quantrill, Ethan, Jay Diz, I mean, all these guys. Roger, you know, I mean, yeah. You're looking for something out of Spartanburg County there. Roger's got you down. But we've got an O-line discussion that we have been teasing now for 2 days.
Yeah, get out.
Just trying.
So, yeah, I had to get off yesterday. So, Craigor pops in. He remembered Craigor, our great friend and fan of the show. I sat down the wrong way on my chair.
I do that all the time.
And scoot a little bit.
I'm sitting on one of my legs right now. I just changed it.
Yeah. Sitting on one of your legs. Goes to sleep. You get up. You just collapse.
I know.
Like, what's wrong with you? I've been sitting down. I get old, man. Where is Craigor's thing? Oh, my goodness. Yes.
It's been a hot minute. I saw it back here.
Find it. Scrolling back. Anyway, give me your offensive line starting five projection. That's going to be a big thing to pay attention to, and I have some thoughts about it as well. Craigor, here it is. Is way too early offensive line is left tackle peak. I don't know why I scrolled all the way back, Phil, because I wrote this down on my notes.
Oh, earlier. Here it is.
I wrote Craig, and I have it. Left tackle, Jacarius Peak. Left guard, Rojo Poku. Center, Carter Miller. He put Meadows, but you're just getting Carter Meadows confused with Carter Miller, and I've done the same thing. Right guard, big Hank Purvis. And right tackle, Josiah Thompson. Fair. Nice pick.
I like that.
Pick there. Someone asked about Darius Gray. Playing
center was brought up during the morning show, actually.
I think he's got the skill set to do it. Can he snap? That's the question. This kid, Boo Boo, by the way, from Missouri State that I'm high on, I think in the SEC, I think he's a tackle at Missouri State, but he was an interior guy at Delaware State. There's a video of him on the official account of Gamecock football squatting. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of weight that dude put up. Hey, Boo Boo, just tell me his name, Phil.
Can't say the way. I gotta look at it here. I gotta change my view here. I'm looking at pictures. Where's the list? There's the list. Position. O line.
Roger, the
Boogwoo.
The Boogwoo. All right, I'm going to get back to this. Roger's mentioned Bill France was interested in building what became Talladega and Spartanburg. Yeah. Spartanburg would have kind of been like Charlotte. Yeah, probably. Mm. And I'm going to get back to all this basketball stuff. So I want to get to all this. Quantrell's got a prediction on the offensive line. Peak, Purvis at left guard, Miller at center, Shed Surratt at right guard, Josiah Thompson at right tackle. Primarily because he wants Shed help with Josiah as much as possible. Yeah, keep in mind, though, according to the data and the research Bradford did, your bigger guys, and Shed is a bigger guy, but your left guard's a little leaner than your right guard. I think Purvis is a right guard, and I think Shed would be the left. But you're right about helping Josiah. If Josiah's the right tackle, could Shed be the right tackle? I mean, who says they're going to move him? I mean, you know, there's a new coach, so there's nothing set in stone. But who said they're
right.
going to move him? T.D. Null says Peak, Shed, Miller, Poku, and Thompson.
Do you think that they're going to find a place for Thompson? I mean, because obviously Peak was brought in, I think, to assume the left tackle lead competition, right?
Yeah, it's hard to say, Phil. I would think so, but because Lonnie Teasley did some things that I didn't think made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But then I think we found out why later. because like Tree in year two, well, why do you have Tree backing up at left tackle? And then, you know, on the other side, you had Case and Henry, who had a history of injuries. But that year in 2024, you know, Tree went in, he redshirted. So the plan was to redshirt him. I didn't know. I was like, you know, why is Trovon Ball behind your better guard, Torselli Simpkins? Well, I thought Kamar Bell was very average.
Yeah.
And Ball was supposed to be better. But they come to find out those guys missed. So I don't always think that under Teasley, they did what you thought, but this is a new offensive line coach, and we do have some data that kind of gives us a roadmap into kind of what they may do. I think, in my opinion, the strong feeling here is that one of two things. The first question you have to ask is, if you move Josiah, is Josiah Thompson one of your two best tackles? Is it Peak and Thompson? Are those your two best? Or is Surratt a better tackle than Thompson right now? It'd be surprising. It'd be surprising if Demola Azedahun was a better tackle right now. But it's not out of the question. You never know. Guys get better at different times. Josiah did not have the best year, but he's 6'7", 305. So the question becomes, and I agree with Deputy Smitty on this. I have a hard time seeing Josiah Thompson not starting.
Right. Yeah.
You could also get a little crazy. I keep thinking this, and I think it's because in my mind is like obsessed with prototypes. And so if I'm just looking at the 6'7" guy versus the 6'4" guy, the 6'7" guy's my left and the 6'4" guy's my right.
Right. Yeah.
It's just on paper. And I also know that until last year, Jacarius Peak primarily played right tackle at NC State. So could you have an elite right tackle and it's Josiah? But I don't, that's like something that keeps getting stuck in my head. I don't think it's going to happen. I think you're looking at Peak. Peak was probably brought in to be the left tackle, and he's right. Really, really, really good.
Yeah.
So could Josiah go to right? It's not that big of a switch going from left tackle to right tackle. You know, guards, you got to take steps, pull. Sometimes that gets a little tricky. I don't think it's hard at all. I mean, Tree did it. Tree was a left tackle, and he was a right tackle. And handled it fine until he had one of the worst games I've ever seen. Ole Miss.
It's fine until it was.
The history of offensive line play here, I was like, it's just amazing how bad he was in that
game. It was bad.
Bad. And I was like, that's Tree, dude. I mean, Tree's usually pretty solid. So, anyway.
Yeah.
So if Josiah Thompson is one of your top two tackles, I think the idea is you do move him to right, and then you slide Surratt inside. The three, I'm like, I'll get to that in a second. I'll read more. Shed at right tackle is intriguing. Yeah, I thought he did pretty well the last three games. Ben says, I'd be disappointed if none of these guys are good enough to start over Josiah. Well, okay, so keep in mind, too, it's like, I don't know. I mean, Josiah from 2024, the promising freshman, or Josiah from last year that struggled. And how much of his struggles really were because of him? Because once Lonnie Teasley left, Josiah did not play as bad. You know, I think we all were talking on the show about he probably need to bench him. But then Sean Elliott took over and Josiah actually started playing pretty good. He did not play well against Clemson, and it did not play perfect. It did not take the jump that we had all thought he would. But what if he does? So, and that's the key to it, Ben. It's not what they are now. It's what they have to determine by evaluating them. And players get better. And I still think Josiah Thompson has a chance to be quite good. But yeah, he's got to do it. Otherwise, I think you are looking at a Poku at right tackle or a Seth Smith at right tackle or a, Poku, Seth Smith, who else is out there? Damola, Kaiser Dehun could play right tackle. I mean, you're looking at a lot of different options at that right tackle position. But I think Peek's your left tackle. Oh, Cam says Peek, Poku, Miller, Purvis, and Shed. I like it.
Yeah.
TD says, I say Thompson because I don't think they would have brought him back if they didn't think he was good enough to start. Just my opinion. Yeah, they love him. They think he's a good player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really good player.
Yeah, I mean, and what, this is kind of crazy, but what do you think the possibility could be for Josiah to redshirt?
I'm not ruling that out either. He did not get the red shirt. You know.
Yeah, he has not burned it yet. He
body can, like, yeah, dude. I mean, that's that's no question. I'm not ruling that out either.
Like, what? Dude, Wait a minute.
Pull a big tree and red shirt. I am Bergeson says, I think Thompson has health issues. He had a little bit of an injury situation freshman year. But, I don't know. He just didn't have a good year. Somebody said, why did he not look that good this past year? Sophomore slump, not poor coaching. Maybe it was him. Some guys are really good as freshmen, and they come back the next year. They don't work quite as hard. I don't know. It could be a number of things, you know.
How settled are we on Baymax at right guard?
I haven't. Penciled. He's in the mix. I haven't penciled him in yet. Mm-hmm. Ethan says I'd rather have Peek to the left to protect the blind side. Me too. Roger, I'm going to get back to your Spartanburg thing here. Quantrill says, unless it's Trent Williams, all offensive linemen should redshirt. Yeah, it's nice if you can. With Darius Gray, my thing is this. He's kind of rare. As an athlete, and he's got a high floor, there's a chance he may just be better than everybody.
Now, is he the only traditional date enrollee for the O-line? Is he the only addition that's going to be coming in?
Yeah. Unless they sign a JUCO kid that can come in the summer. So, Cam says a new offensive line coach can make all the difference in the world. We got that finally. And the scheme. You know, you're not asking them to do as much with this thing. You got assignments and stuff. You got to play your assignments. I mean, John Strickland can explain kind of the simple stuff, but I think there's a lot of confusion up there because I think they were asking them to not necessarily do too much like within the play, but play to play. And then the communication, changing things. I mean, it just did not work. There's no time to change much in this thing. Just fire off the ball and hit somebody. Play your assignment. Bruin dropped a 6'7" in there. Good God. Good Lord.
That's almost worked its way out.
Yeah, so I don't know. NASCAR Hall of Fame gets over 2 million visitors a year. That's in Spartanburg or – where is that? As far as Charlotte. Thanks, old Spartanburg. Yeah. Oh, Charles Power seems to be higher on Giles playing earlier. The Darius spoke to Giles' raw power and movement. He's way higher on Zion than he is Darius. They're not on three's not higher on Darius at all. I disagree with him, and I rarely do, but just because of like who Darius Gray is. Now, will Zion in time, could he be better than Darius Gray? Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know that I buy that there, that Zion's an interior guy either. A lot of people want to move him there, and he may well end up there. I don't strongly disagree with that. I just don't know that he won't be a right tackle too at Carolina. I just looking at him, but yeah, I know Powers, but that I respect the opinion. That's not one I feel that he, I don't feel strongly he's wrong. I just disagree. Disagree. Cam's walking around like barf when it comes to the safety position next year. My biggest concern with the team. Well, there's options back there.
Yeah.
And look, man, safety is like down the list of reasons why they lost last season.
True.
Most of the defense was okay. I mean, I don't, DQ Smith has become a fan whipping boy and he's gone now. So that should make some people happy. But it is a question who's going to play back there. I mean, if Peyton Williams is going to be your best guy, I'd probably say he's the favorite to win a job. The other job's open. They moved Gerald Kilgore is now a nickel.
According to I read that. Yeah.
And I like that move. I think that fits Gerald Kilgore's skill sets. You got David Busey. You got Kendall Daniels and Jazavian Currents, though, and Craig and I are talking – on the same wavelength there. We're digging that. That's a dream scenario. But they have to be good enough to win. And see, at safety, too, you've got a lot of different mental responsibilities and stuff that kind of make it all go. And so we'll see sort of what happens. I can't see the emojis. His eyes are blind. Was it a barf?
Oh, I'm like, hot, yeah.
Hiding your eyes. Quasheed Scott from Kentucky will play. Yeah, he's a nickel or a corner. Quantrell says, is it possible Torian Gray moves on to the NFL after another good year? His track record is impressive. He coached for the Redskins for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He's making $1 million a year at South Carolina as the, and he's got a coordinator title now. I mean, it's somebody, NFL secondary coach, $1 million. I don't know.
That's the problem with the NFL contracts is you really have zero idea how much these guys are making. Yeah. It could be $1 million. It could be two.
Harrison says he feels they have more position flexibility on the offensive line for the first time in a little bit, which will be really beneficial in the long run. The other part of that when you speak to position flexibility is these are older and experienced players. Older guys can handle more mentally. We sat there and talked about Darius Gray playing and starting next year. But I agree. I mean, there is some flexibility. Like Poku could be an inside or outside guy. Shed Surratt, who didn't come in from the portal, but who's in the second year, could play inside or outside. Arnett, Drayton Arnett from Ferris State is an inside or outside guy. I mean, you could mix and match. And I like that. The Boo Boo guy that I like from Missouri State. I think he's an interior guy in the SEC, but he played left tackle at Missouri State all year last year and looks pretty good in the weight room. So we'll see sort of how all that happens. So, but I don't know about Torian moving on. I think James Franklin and Virginia Tech gave him a good run this offseason, maybe some other schools as well. I mean, everybody should want to hire Torian Gray.
Right.
Quantrell says, if rumors are true, Currents might play corner, no fly zone. I just keep having that feeling he may play corner. I do. So what we could see at safety is a Peyton Williams, David Busey, Kendall Daniels thing. Kelvin Hunter's still back there. I don't know. I mean, Currents to corners, it's something I've kind of picked up on a little bit, but I'm not ready to say it. I want to see it before I believe it completely, but there is talk at 6'4", 210. Now, those that have seen Currents play, I think just looking at him, he has the hips and length and all that you want at a corner. So
Yeah.
Ethan asked if Markie Anderson's healthy, need him for depth. Healthy enough, I think.
I think he's a right guard option as well.
Those guys always, offensive linemen, a lot of them are all, when they get to a certain point in their career, they're always battling something.
Yeah, everybody's got to, yeah.
Healthy enough. So we'll see sort of what happens there. So I don't know about that. I will say this about the offensive line in general. In my opinion, there's three that I've got written down in pencil. Everything's in pencil because they're going to compete, and it's impossible to say how it's all going to play out. There's too many new players, a lot of older players. That's going to make the competition feel really, really good.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these guys, they're in their fifth and sixth year. This is it.
Mm-hmm. And experience, so, you know, you got a couple of guys at lower levels who are probably a bit more attuned to the type of offense that's going to be installed, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah, because those, shoulder.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. I think I like the fact that there's going to be incredible, what you would assume is also going to be some leadership coming with this experience at that position group, yeah. Right?
Guys that have played football a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think too, competition wise, you got a lot of grown men out there mixing it up. They don't have problems usually. Older guys getting motivated,
yeah,
simply because they're not dealing with the oh my god, I just don't want any anymore going up a level. Now, some of these guys are going up a level of college football, but
yeah,
you know the big jump is when you go from like high school to college. That's like, oh god, the collisions. You know, that's why some freshmen take a little while to get going. But I'm looking, there's going to be good competition there. But I believe there's three guys that I would say I would write in pencil, and that's Peak at left tackle, that's Carter Miller at center, and that's Shed Surratt somewhere on the offensive line. I absolutely don't think there's any way on earth. And again, barring obvious things like health or, you know, some guys sometimes get suspended, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that happening. I don't see any way those three are. I don't see any. Never say never, JC. I think there's the possibilities are slim that those three are not in the lineup. Everything else, shake it up in a box. Give me a scenario. And, you know, those three are in pencil, too, because, Peak, I feel good about. I think Peak's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Proven player. But the rest, I mean, and Carter Miller at center and Surratt, yeah, I feel good about those guys. A lot of people just want to toss Surratt out because he was on a bad offense. You don't toss everybody out. It's all newcomers. I'm fine with that. In general, like, I'm fine with that idea generally, but I'm not, like, individually, though, Surratt's really good. The staff loves him. I mean, they think – I mean, that basically, Cree wasn't going to play. They just slid the freshman out there, and he held his own. Mm. Arguably, against Clemson, I thought Surratt played better at tackle than Josiah.
Yeah.
Just watching them. And he's down to 325. He was in the 330s, 336 this past year. So he's 10 pounds slimmer, according to the roster. Roger mentions former Woodruff and veteran assistant coach Derek Jones, who played at Ole Miss and coached under Cutcliffe at Duke. His new corners coach at Tennessee. Yeah, he was Woodruff in the early 90s. I don't know why he left the state. I think Sparky Woods was the coach then. He ended up going to Ole Miss, but he said he hopes he didn't get any ideas about recruiting a fellow Wolverine to the 27 class.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. T.D. Noll did, speaking of Missouri State, Ryan Beard, Chance Miller hired him at Coastal as the head coach. He did his estimate for his new fence in his house on the waterway. Super nice guy. I've heard a lot of good things, man, TD.
Hmm.
Harrison said a 6'5 corner, last one I remember being that tall, was Mukwamu. I like Currents coming out of high school better than Mukwamu. I'll tell you that right now. As a corner, yeah. And I always thought Mukwamu was probably more of a safety. But like him a lot. Torian knows how to trade up tall corners, Jay Diz says.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ed says Giles is coming in from 1A high school football. I suspect he'll need to redshirt. It doesn't matter what level you come from if you're really good.
Yeah. But yeah.
I agree. Offensive linemen need to redshirt. Cam says, where do I have Shed today, JC, if you had to pencil him? I like him at left guard. Just because I think their tackle, you know, left, yeah, you kind of strengthen. You got Peak and then Surratt beside him and then Carter Mill. That's a good left side. So TD says the group we hadn't talked about really is the tight end room. Strong feeling Caden Ramsey will get a hard look at getting in the two deep. He just looks like a good football player. Yeah, Caden Ramsey, I think, you know, that's a good thing. Kendall Briles, I think if Caden Ramsey's good enough, which he could be, and there's a kid from 1A football, I think he could play receiver. And the good news about Kendall Briles is he's sometimes the pro guys, they want their within their scheme, they'll use a tight end and play him like a wide receiver, but they all got to go. Everything's kind of a little bit more structured. Caden Ramsey, you just name a position, the Caden position, and they'll get him the ball if he's good enough. And I think in time he will be. And I don't know that Harrison's not correct that he could be a wide receiver. In fact, some coaches around the state think that's what he is.
Yeah. I mean, if your O line is sufficiently blocking, then you put a guy like that in the slot and have a serious weapon.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how the tight ends are used. So, oh man. Contrell compared him to Deuce Robinson at Florida State. Yeah. I love Caden Ramsey. I think he's an outstanding prospect. Love kids from small town South Carolina high schools.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to continue this conversation. We got more about the history of Spartanburg coming up. Could have been the NASCAR capital of the South, but it's not. Talk more about the offensive line. You know, JB was mentioning Mike Tyler earlier today. That's and DJ Black. So I didn't get a chance to comment. We'll circle back on all of that. So got to get a haircut and do laundry today too, Phil. Wide open Wednesday.
I'm just glad I don't have any kids to cart all over Greenville for practice today. This is my day off.
I used to be excited about Wednesdays, you know, like you go to church and you eat the spaghetti like we talked about.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a nice day here. By the way, it's sunny and about 65 degrees in Chicago.
Wow.
Like, nice. I could go play. I'm sure my friends that are at Tavern, they're all in their 60s and retired. I'm sure they're playing 18 holes today, but it's not muddy. That's the thing, too. The snow's all melted. The ground is muddy as
well. Yeah. Mud season has begun. Yeah.
So, if you need new clothes because of mud season, go to Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, all around the world. Same song. It's just the same old song, y'all. All around the world. It's the same song. It's just the same old song, y'all. Nothing. That's from Nothing But Trouble. Talking about that movie. Anyway, all around the world, GamecockTraditions.com, all your Gamecock gear, brick and mortar stores, Village at Sand Hill. And Village of Sand Hill still alive and kicking. Malls are closing, but I went to the Village of Sand Hill over Thanksgiving. It was packed. The JCPenney was packed. They were giving away free jewelry, I think.
Oh, nice. That's one way to get them, man.
Traditions had good foot traffic. Also out in Lexington. Check them out. Follow them on social media. We love Gamecock Traditions here at ITG, especially on the show. I always know last break I'm going to mention Gamecock Traditions. We're only having two breaks today.
We rolled right through the first one. So
anyway, we'll be back to wrap things up on ITG The Show on a Wide Open Wednesday after this.
For over 80 years, the West Law Firm has delivered hard work, honest advice, and real results, and is a law firm built on family that delivers for families in South Carolina. They represent clients through personal injury, criminal defense, car, DUI, and boating accidents, and more. Built on blue collar. Representing blue collar, the West Law Firm understands the importance of dedication and experience needed for representation, but with a foxhole mentality. Visit WestLawFirmSC.com. WestLawFirmSC.com. Get comfortable with our team and learn why we should be a part of yours when you need us. Go Gamecocks!
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. it can become extremely difficult to bounce back to what you knew before. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170.
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million-mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia. We're serious about saving you money.
Hey, folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that, too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience and service, second to none. Residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
Welcome back, everybody. Final segment of a wide open Wednesday here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Been rolling through some football talk here. Been nice with the O-line. Caden Ramsey came up. I guess, you know, it's tangentially. Tight ends are easy to talk about when you've been dealing with O-linemen. Kind of function in the same capacity, depending on the offense, of course.
Apparently the wind's blowing in Columbia.
Maybe
it'll be blowing out with Carolina's luck lately. It'd be blowing right in, and they'll win a 1-0 thriller on a Gardner Webb will walk in the winning run in the ninth.
A pitcher's duel.
Oh, come on, please. Let's just.
How many arms can you throw to call it a real pitcher's duel, right? You know, because if I could see, you know, Carolina and Gardner Webb playing a game tonight and having eight different pitchers out there.
I don't even know. Phil, look on the Gamecock Baseball Twitter account and see who maybe they announced a starter yet.
Bradley Hodges is getting the start. So they basically flipped what was initially kind of thought there. Hodges was
Bradley Hodges. Definitely is Bradley Hodges.
Yeah, gonna be Hodges. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, have they announced that, or was that?
I believe they have. Actually, I was looking at, because we reported that as gospel here earlier.
Oh, okay, we'll probably need to. Okay, good. So, all right.
That's what I'm looking for. Preview, game preview.
Yeah, I didn't have one listed earlier when I sent out the ITG newsletter. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, if you go to chiefsportsnetwork.com, you can sign up for the Inside the Gamecocks newsletter. Paul Maneri said Hodges last night. Okay, yeah. So they just didn't update the preview. There we go. Quantrill feels bad. He didn't know that was downtown Spartanburg. It's insane, though. Always felt the Berg would end up being the metropolis. Yeah, it's just, you know, I look. Spartanburg now has got a nice little feel to it. It's distinguished from Greenville. It's a little bit more, it's got a little more of an Asheville vibe. I think that's probably because there's Spartanburg has an abnormal amount of colleges for a city that size. If you think, right. Yeah, right. USC upstate, which is a big commuter school, but it's more residential than it used to be. Wofford is there. Converse is there. You have Spartanburg Methodist College, which is a junior college. And then you have, is the Sherman School of Chiropractic still in Spartanburg?
It is still there, right off Old Valley Falls Road.
Chiropractors rolling around the Berg. So there's kind of it's a younger vibe. It's a drinking little town too, for those that like to partake. It's a lot of interesting bars in Spartanburg. There's usually, you go to a bar in Spartanburg, many of them on any given night, and there's like four or five different things going on all at once that you can count on. Yeah. That's somebody's true. Somebody's shooting pool. If they have a pool table, somebody's been there since happy hours, almost passed out at the bar. Somebody's getting in a fight with his girlfriend, or some girl's getting a fight with her boyfriend. Somebody else is about to get in a fight, and somebody's looking to score some weed or something. Those are the five tenets of a Spartanburg bar. I'm not talking about the bar restaurants downtown like RJ Rockers or anything like that. I'm talking like your bar in Spartanburg, right? You know, like your there used to be a place called Mama San's Cocktails and Dreams. I absolutely love this place. Or there was a place out near Hillcrest called Little Dee Dee's.
Little Dee Dee's.
And most of them that have that set up are like, because it used to be you couldn't buy beer on Sundays. And you know, instead of going up crossing the border, which you could do in Spartanburg because it's right there, you join a private club and you sign in. They're still around. There's some in Greenville too. Those are
interesting
places as well, as Phil and I well know. But these private clubs, you go in, there's those five things are always happening. And they're located in different spots. There's some downtown, but then you got to Boiling Springs or Inman or someplace like that. And there it is, just sitting in all its glory.
Right.
An aluminum building, you know, like with the
They're either aluminum or like a stone facade, you know. Yeah, stone
facade. Roger's son is in his last semester at Sherman. He's getting free treatment as his dad.
That's right on.
Ed McInnes calls it back crack you. Yeah. Speaking of Spartanburg County, Roger mentions DJ Black, who JB mentioned in the morning show. Wide receiver, used to be a walk-on, went to Limestone, put up numbers. Went to UCF, caught 22 passes for the Knights last year. And I've always liked him. I've liked all of the, you know, like Peyton Mangrum. I thought he was a quality walk-on, and he was. Eric Rice out of AC Floor, a quality walk-on. I remember Eric Kimry talking him up when he came in, thought he was really good. But DJ Black, to me, was like a step above. I was like, why is this guy not, I mean, why is he a walk-on, you know?
Right.
Then, you know, he just was going to take some time. But he's a Division One guy, you know. Now, I think JB's got the right idea. This is the type of guy with speed and stuff that, you know, you can see making a big play or three during his final turn, you know, and depending on how much he's progressed physically and things like that. You know, you say 22 catches last year, but that's good. He got his feet wet in the Big 12, and you come in. And what he brings to the table, too, is competition. He's another older player. So, JDS says three old families owned all of downtown Spartanburg. They had tax breaks to own the empty buildings. They finally started passing, and their boomer kids started selling because they don't live in South Carolina. I remember when I grew up, JDS, like you had a lot of just downtown was just abandoned.
Yeah.
Like the what used to be called the Main Street Mall. They made it the Main Street, well, Og Smith's and all that. My great grandmother actually owned a beauty shop in the 40s and 50s.
Nice.
In downtown Spartanburg right there, because Belk was there, and they had all the stores they had at Hillcrest. There used to be a Hillcrest Mall too in Spartanburg, and Westgate, which is the big mall, which is still there. But it is very much a big small town, or it was. It's part of the reason my mom didn't like it. She was from Myrtle Beach, and she kind of felt like an outsider.
Yeah.
Right. She lives in Greenville now, you know. But, yeah, Spartanburg's kind of – it's not as bad as, say, Gainesville, Georgia, where I lived and I was an outsider. Gainesville's smaller than Spartanburg. Spartanburg's big enough to where, you know, But I've experienced that before. It's kind of frustrating. I'd almost rather live in anonymity than be part of this loosey-goose larger community where the haves or the old money runs the show.
Old money and new money. Yeah, that's arena. Sorry.
June chimes in. He's from Beaumont. The Silver Bullet. The Silver Bullet was around the corner. You remember Mickey Silver Bullet? And that was in Taylor's. Remember Mickey Silver Bullet right there?
Silver Bullet.
Dude. Silver Bullet, man. Yeah, my dad wanted the Silver Bullet, I think. There's also on 295 Johnny's Bar and Grill. My dad loved going to that place as well. A little hole in the wall. I guess that runs in the family. But, yeah. Did y'all ever go to the Cotton Bottom Club in Greenville? I can't say I may have wandered in there one night, but I don't know.
I never made it to the Cotton Bottom. I went to Gumby's and Ty's a few times on the other side of Wade Hampton Boulevard, but never the Cotton Bottom.
That's crazy. So Chris says he's going to try the French onion meatloaf this weekend. I may try that tonight.
It looks really good.
I'm just intrigued. He says, if I keep eating these good recipes, I'm going to start needing some bell-bottom shirts. You know, at least you're not wearing sweatpants.
Of course. My wife has taken to like putting a list of ingredients into ChatGPT and seeing what it comes up with.
Yeah.
It's hit or miss.
I don't know about that. I don't know. It's just
it's hit or miss. It's hit or miss. I don't mind talking junk about it either, because it's not like she came up with the recipe. It's like, no, well, you know, Skynet let you down.
Yeah, they need a little love, man. Skynet. Ryan mentions Red's Bar and Grill was rough in Spartanburg. I don't think I ever went into Red's.
No, I don't either.
Houston says, speaking of Spartanburg County, oh, yeah, this was awesome.
I did. I read that today.
The BHP bus driver, epic fail of the night, the Belt and Honey Path. Look, man, a lot of these bus drivers, they don't make any money, or they're volunteers. You know, they're just trying to do the best. So they leave Belt and Honey Path. They're on their way to the playoff game, right? It's at Chapman, which is in Inman, South Carolina, in Spartanburg County. It's just north of Duncan, Lyman, and it's in Inman. Everybody knows, near Lake Bowen.
Yeah.
So they take off towards Chapin, which, of course, is also near a lake, but Lake Murray in Columbia.
That is near a lake.
So I'm wondering how far they got. I mean, I'm wondering if Pete Yannity, by the way, with the report on X from WSPA last night, got to give him credit for that. But I'm wondering how far they got. My guess is they got down 385 a good ways, and somebody noticed and said something. And so they were like, they're probably at that like rest stop on 385 where you exit to the left if you're going towards Columbia.
Oh, yeah.
They're probably like, well, to hell with it. We're almost to Clinton. They've got off on the Clinton exit, turned around, and went back up. That's my guess. But they said they were delayed. So would that cause a delay, or would you just not get enough time to warm up? I mean, what game was it, 7? I don't know. I don't know what time they left. Did they go all the way to Chapin?
I don't know. I doubt they may. I think Yannity said they called it, but they were delayed. No, here we are. It's actually right here for me to click on.
Oh, you got details?
Let's see. Lexington causing a tip-off to be delayed until after 7 o'clock. They arrived shortly before 7:30.
Got far down the road, dude.
They were because you got to figure at that point you're probably 90 minutes late, right? Like you're probably trying to get there at 6 o'clock,
and it's probably an hour and 20 from Columbia. Chapin, though, you could make that, but you're on a bus, so
you're slow. You're not doing 85 miles an hour, right, you know.
Dude, they made it all. They almost made it to Richland, Lexington County.
They may not have turned
around. They were at least in Newberry.
At least
in Newberry, dude. They
were at least in Newberry.
Man. Shoot.
I wonder who caught it. Was it a coach? Was it the bus driver?
I was telling my wife, and I'm like, she's like, how do you not know? She's like, because even my wife, who's still learning South Carolina, knows, Columbia is in one direction and Spartanburg is in another from Anderson. Right. And, you know, that's that. So what happened was, so I told her that, and she was like, well, how did that even happen? Why didn't somebody notice? I was like, because here's why. Because the bus driver got confused, and everybody's looking at their phone on the bus.
Exactly. Right. Nobody's
paying attention. They're not looking out the window. They don't care, including the coaches. They're all on their phone. All right. Which is
every stretch of interstate up here in the upcountry is essentially looks the same. Yeah. Right?
There's no land. And if you go that way and you go up 85 and then you get on the connector and go to 385, there's really no, you really don't know. No. And high school girl, I mean, not many high school girls have, I mean, if they were playing Spartanburg High School or something like that, but maybe they don't know where Chapman is. Who knows?
I'm wondering how soon, like, if the bus driver was the one who called it, like, how far do you go before you're like, okay, he has to come up with a story to tell him, like, because somebody's going to notice if you turn the bus around, right?
Chapman. Samsonite. That was way off.
That's right.
Anyway. Bryce has a question about left tackle. Was left tackle at NC State better than Peak? Why would he stay at right tackle if he's better at that position? Oh, I'm sorry, Bryce. I didn't mean to confuse you. He was the left tackle all year last year at NC State. It was early in his career. He started at right tackle. I need to, just make sure everybody knows that. If I just was rambling through my thoughts and failed to mention that 2025, he was their left tackle and a good one. A really, really good one. Mm-hmm. So, but he played right tackle early in his career. I don't know, man. I think Josiah Thompson, like, the light would have to come on and he would have to be just like as good as Peak or better.
Yeah.
And I don't know that can happen. And that's nothing against Thompson, more about Peak. That guy just, geez, the more I watch him, he's just automatic. Technique wise,
He's really strong. Good.
He's quick.
He's really good.
So Lance says, love the newsletter in my email. Great stuff. Yeah, it's just kind of a sampling when we start inside the Gamecocks.com, which we'll launch at some point. Just kind of getting back into the written content part of it. Some of the stuff you can expect. Some. You can't fit all of it into a newsletter. There's no message board on the newsletter. But, Russell's trying to find out who caught the mistake. He knows the BHP coach.
Yeah, please find
Russell,
out.
We need details on this. Russell is our answer man. Like,
that's right, man.
If we have questions about equestrian, Russell knows. Dude, we need to make Russell into an honorary advertiser.
Yeah, right.
Got a question? Ask Russell.
Ask Wells.
Ask Wells. The Wells Information Society.
That's right.
Ask Russell. Yeah, dude, find out, man. I'm curious. I just got questions about that. I mean, I hope nobody gets punished for it. I mean,
oh, I would hope that nothing bad happened to it. I mean, no, nobody should. I mean, it happens.
I wouldn't be mad. You know, there's probably some parent, though.
Oh, yeah. There's some over entitled parent that's like, where are the kids?
Bus driver, bus driver, right? How do you confuse Chapman and Chapman? It's two different situations. We played Chapman a couple years ago, right? To Spartanburg.
I guarantee you, some Karen parent was on the phone with Highway Patrol wondering where the bus flipped over.
Bus flipped over.
I know.
It's kind of crazy. But yeah, by the way, chiefsportsnetwork.com, there's a little article spot right there at the top of the page for now, right beside coffee. You can get that. Phil, I'm going to actually send you the link to that. You can put it in the chat box.
I linked the baseball one earlier. So fortunately, I'm on the email list, so I've been enjoying them as well.
Yeah, but there's a list to sign up. So let me just.
Sweet. Okay, cool.
I'll text this to you, or I'll email it to you so you can pop it into the data sport or the ITG, the Chief Sports Network newsletter chat box.
The Chief Sports Network newsletter chat. That's way too much.
Yeah, it's a lot of words.
So today's potential recipe from AI, by the way, is using only bacon, rice, feta, and spinach.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. I told her we'd have to discuss it when she got home.
Bacon, rice, spinach, and feta.
Yeah, I mean,
you could probably saute that a little bit. Put some, like, if you got some Greek style lemon rice.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I mean, pretty this good. Might have, you could do a little Greek flavor here because I like this. I like all four of these ingredients, right? I just probably wouldn't put them together. Like the rice, I mean,
that's a Greek. This is a Greekish. Yeah, the rice, it had to be like the Greek rice. Like, there's this thing at this place called George's, I guess, a Greek restaurant. It's called Yaya's Chicken and Rice. It's got to be like a chicken flavored rice, in my opinion.
Yeah, you gotta.
We have rice battles around here because my wife's Asian and they like a different kind of rice than I do. I don't know. Jonathan says the bus driver will use GPS going forward. I bet they did.
They did too. But they just put the wrong tape in.
I bet that's half the problem.
No,
it was the old days they were using maps, you know. But yeah, that's funny, Jonathan. Harrison got caught up in traffic because a bus flipped over on I-77 last spring. Took 3 hours to travel the distance I normally would an hour and a half. Oh, God,
I can only imagine that.
I got caught. I've never, rarely been caught on 77. Now, not in Charlotte, obviously. Going through Charlotte's a pain in the patoot.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up from Columbia, it's always a pretty breezy drive. Except one day, I had flown to Columbia. I was meeting with Chance Miller and some administration members about NIL when I had Carolina Rice. I flew into Charlotte, drove down, I had a flight going back. I had plenty of time to make it from Columbia, right? Of course, the Southwest, I was on Southwest. The Southwest gate is like 15 miles from security in Charlotte Airport now, next to the Spirit Airlines gate. I'm like, wow, you know, one of these things is not like the other, but whatever. And so, I got there, I got about Blythewood. And there was some kind of wreck. And all of a sudden, my GPS had me getting to the Charlotte airport 35 minutes after my flight left. And I sat there and sat there and sat. I had to spend the night in Rock Hill. So it just is what it is. But that's usually a pretty 77 is usually decent. 26 when you get out of Columbia is fine. But
yeah, typically. Yeah.
Oh, I've been on 26 before coming back from Carolina games, though, all the way to the upstate. And it gets pretty thick.
Yeah, nothing but red headlights in front of you the entire way.
Yeah, so.
Red taillights, rather not. Headlights.
Harrison points out that Peak hasn't played at right tackle since rivalry week. It's 2024. It's the last time he played then. Krager has a story. He was taking a team bus for a JV basketball game to Orangeburg. Coach drove the whole way with the emergency brake on. Kept smelling something, but didn't figure it out until we got there.
Something burning?
Y'all smoking? Ah. Oh, man. Russell says he's full of useless knowledge, a Southern version of Cliff Clavin. So anyway, let's get out of here.
I was literally thinking about John Ratzenberger in the morning show. I don't even know why I was thinking about John Ratzenberger in the morning show, but, you know, it's just one of those things that pops into your head.
Everybody shares the same brain. So baseball tonight, Gamecock baseball actually coming up here in what, 2 hours, Phil?
Yeah, 3:45, I think. Yeah.
3:45 is air time, 4 o'clock first pitch. I hope I didn't put 4:30 in the newsletter for those that get it, but maybe I did. I don't know. I thought it was 4:30. If I said that, I'm a moron and you should publicly humiliate me. Be sure to follow at Gamecock Show on X. Also bookmark insidethegamecocks.com. for the day it launches. And Phil will put the newsletter link in the chat box right now.
Let's see. Where did the...
Before we get out of here.
Where didn't I get that? I got that here. Did you text me? Hold on. We'll figure it out. I got it. Hold on. Jeevesportsnetwork.com.
No, I screwed it up, Phil. I sent it to myself. Jeez.
I do that.
There's usually that with links, it's like one of two people. I'm either sending it to you or me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm either sending it to myself because it's on my phone. Yeah. So
Phil's going to put the link in the chat box. Harrison says, I put 4 o'clock for the baseball in the newsletter, JC. Yeah, so that was right. Sweet. I told my wife 4:30. I was like, because that's 3:30 my time, and I leave to go get her about 3:50. So I'll be listening to the later innings, I guess, or the middle innings when I go to pick her up from work today.
Boom, there we are. Y'all right there in.
All right. So there you go. You can sign up. That's mobile friendly. And look, they're going to send you a confirmation email to tell you this right now. Check your spam folder. It did not go to my spam folder and other spam folders, but then on another email account that I signed up for when I was testing it, it did. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get a confirmation email within 5-10 minutes, check your spam folder. And please mark it if you're on Gmail, not spam, so the Google bot overlords will know I'm not trying to spam anyone. There's no spam.
For all the stuff that Gmail lets go through.
Yeah, dude.
That I've actively said unsubscribe to.
Yes. I get random stuff like this company called Carter's that sells baby clothes. If anyone's bought any gifts for any babies in the last 20 years of my life, it's been the female that I've either been married to or dating. Otherwise, I'm giving gift certificates or my brother's got diapers.
Yeah, and diapers.
In at least one case, just some cold hard cash because they need it. But, yeah. Oh, did you call me a chiseler?
He did indeed.
Oh, man. That got an Irishman's butt whipped in Gangs of New York. Chiselers. If you called us chiselers, then we're going to have to fight. Anyway, for the Mad Dog, this is JC Sherbert. Thanks for joining us on the show. We got the Smorgasbord tomorrow with Alex Jones, A. Jones in the house, Matt Anderson, the late night Gamecock on Friday. So we're cruising into the guest portion. Tailgate Talks is up on the app, the podcast version. Really good. Robert Beery, I think, is the baseball guest today. As Pat and Steven continue their wonderful conversations around Gamecock Nation, also don't forget, download the Chief Sports app. And Sports Talk streams tonight from 6 to 8 with Phil Kornblut. Enjoy the baseball game, everyone. We'll be back at you tomorrow. See you.